Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The high price of romance. If you use the services of a matchmaker to find love, your dates might not set your heart on fire, but the cost of some agencies could burn a hole in your pocket. And with the biggest threat to our wealth apparently removed from next week's budget, as the Chancellor drops pensions tax reforms, what else should we be braced for? I mull over the tea leaves with our award-winning pensions correspondent, Josephine Cumbo. Welcome to The Money Show, the FT's most popular weekly podcast. I'm Claire Barrett, Money Editor, and I'll be giving you all the week's money news in downloadable form with the help of my FT Money colleagues Emma Jacobs and Josephine Cumbo, plus special studio guest Rachel McLinn, founder of the Vida Consultancy. The online dating industry is now worth billions of pounds, but many older, well-heeled daters are turned off by Tinder and other internet-based services, instead preferring the old-fashioned route of an elite matchmaker who will conduct a more discreet, discerning, and sensitive search for the one. The writer Daniel Pembrey is one such man. He's written candidly about his experiences of using high-end dating agencies and FT Money this weekend. Sadly, he hasn't found love, yet, but he has found that at this end of the dating game, there appears to be a shortage of eligible bachelors. This means that your heart could be a flutter when you find out how much dating agencies cost, especially if you're female. I'm joined in the studio by dating expert Rachel McLinn, founder and managing director of the Vida Consultancy. Rachel, thanks for joining us today. You've been running your own matchmaking agency, Vida, for 5 years now, growing the business through referrals from happily matched clients. But would you say there's a shortage of men at the top of London's dating scene?
It certainly seems to be a hot topic in all cosmopolitan cities, people complaining that there's not enough single men. I think that the perception is there predominantly because when men are single, they keep that status relatively private. Whereas women, on the other hand, when they're single, they naturally gravitate towards talking to their friends and to their colleagues and seeking out support from their peers in terms of finding someone to go on a date with or attending events, etc. So I think the apparent disparity between men and women and the numbers of single people isn't actually as severe as what one may think.
So in the FT Money piece this week, the writer Daniel Pembrey gives one example where he was given free membership of an elite dating service because they couldn't get enough eligible male clients, whereas one woman who he met on a date confessed to having paid over £18,000. I mean, looking across the whole industry, do you think that women really are paying more to make a match, and why might this be?
So it's not so much a case that women are paying for the service and men are receiving free membership. Certainly that's not the case at my business. At our service, we have two tiers of membership, one which involves a proactive, dedicated matchmaking service, and we charge from £10,000 for a year's membership. And it's the same fee that we charge to men as we do to women. We spend a lot of time with that individual, profiling them, getting to know them, just taking them through the entire journey over the course of the year, introducing them to suitable individuals who we have identified, embedded and screened, etc. Now, to be able to deliver that service, we also need to have access to a very large network of equally high quality single people. So we have, at the moment, we've got well in excess of 5,000 individuals who are registered with us on a passive basis. Now, that is where this particular gentleman is maybe referring to having received a free service. So it's not a men versus women debate, really.
OK, well, at this point, I'm going to introduce Emma Jacobs, the FT's star features writer, who has separately been writing about the dating industry. Welcome, Emma.
Hi.
You've been writing in the FT recently that competition for landing the most eligible men in London is now hotting up even further, as elite dating agencies in New York are actually arranging dates for their female clients with London men. Do you tell us more?
Well, I mean, actually, it's happening in both cities. So dating agencies in London have branches in New York and vice versa. Mm. And I think, having talked to Rachel, part of it is that people are flying back and forth, particularly in finance and fashion. So the cities don't feel, well, they're not alien. They share a common culture, a common language to some extent. And it just makes sense. If you're flying backwards and forwards, you know, once or twice a month, why not go on a date for someone in another city? It seems mad to me because I don't fly backwards and forwards. But if I did, I mean, why not? And also, there are some very unromantic reasons. Some men said that they wanted to slow the pace that their relationship built up at, you know, and that, and certainly having the Atlantic between you dictates the pace. And also because people were sick of the dating scene in New York and also in London. So they felt that it was too competitive in New York. Women were tired of the dating rules, as they've been referred to many times, you know, waiting 3 days for the man to phone you back, and also multiple dating. And so people want to be fixed up with somebody quality.
And Rachel, would you say that this nylon trend is something big that you're noticing?
Yes, absolutely. We have nearly half of our clients who live in New York or London are requesting to meet someone, or certainly extending the search to the other side of the pond, for a variety of reasons. I mean, the ease of travel is an obvious one. But beyond that, if we delve a little bit further into the actual profiles of the people that we're looking after, they tend to be people who are British or American, or maybe other European nationalities as well, who have got some sort of history of living or working in both cities. So they have some experience there. There's some roots there that have already been planted, and therefore they are very open-minded about where they eventually end up and where they could live. Just this week, actually, and in response to the article, I took on a new client. She's British, but living in New York.
Okay.
She's been living there for 10 years. She runs a successful business, but she's in her late 30s. She wants to get married. She wants to have children. And whilst it would be much more straightforward for her to meet someone in New York, she's really fed up of the dating culture there. So she is equally happy for us to extend the search to London, because she has family here. She's lived here for many years prior to moving to New York, and therefore she would like us to search in both cities. So that's a typical example of someone who would be really tuned into the idea of nylon dating.
And finally, the conclusion of FT Money's intrepid data was that he preferred to go to organised dating events where he met lots of people in a less pressurised scenario. Rachel, do you think dating events are the next big industry trend?
If you had asked me this 2 years ago, I would have said absolutely no. And I've been really, really pleasantly surprised by what's been happening over the last 18 months or so. We have started running events over the last 18 months, just very delicately trying out different formulas to see what really works. And they've become amazingly popular, and particularly the desire of men to come along to these events as well. I think the trick really that we're focused on really getting right is about making sure that the actual venue is amazing. But the real secret is making sure that we get the right people there in the first place. So it's invite only. We keep careful monitor on who is interested in coming and who we extend the invites out to, so that we can ensure that there is the ideal blend of men and women who are attractive, socially confident, well presented, and really just amazing individuals who are absolutely looking for a committed relationship, and putting them in a very discreet setting as well, so that they can meet people very comfortably.
Well, thanks very much. That was Rachel McLynn, founder of the Vida Consultancy, and Emma Jacobs, the FT's star features writer. You can read FT Money's full cover feature, The High Cost of Finding Love, in FT Money as part of the Weekend FT, widely available on both Saturday and Sunday, or read us online, ft.com/money, and follow us on Twitter, at FTMoney. Did you breathe a sigh of relief last weekend when the Chancellor backed away from ending the valuable perk of tax relief on pensions contributions? Commentators say that the popular backlash to further pensions tinkering, combined with fears about upsetting the electorate ahead of June's referendum on Europe, were why the government has taken a step back from radical reforms. But could he pull any pensions rabbits out of the hat? I'm joined by the FT's pensions correspondent Joe Cumbo to tell us more. Joe, thanks for joining us today. So Friday night was a busy one for you. Talk us through why the Chancellor changed his mind over pensions reform.
Yes, I think the main reason why he changed his mind was political. Now, we are only a couple of months away from a very sensitive poll on Europe, and the Chancellor was starting to get very tetchy that MPs would face a backlash from their grassroots supporters over big changes to high rate relief. So it was a very sensitive time to be making any big changes. So I think that was the key reason why he decided that there wouldn't be any big announcement in the budget. But there were also a lot of concerns raised by the industry and other groups that the option that is believed to have been favoured by the Chancellor would have caused a lot of damage to the industry and to retirement saving.
Yeah, the pensions ISA. Now, this was so controversial because it would have effectively have reversed the tax treatment of pensions. Big windfall for George, but future problems for future governments.
Yes, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The Pisa was an idea that George Osborne flagged. It was the only one he really mentioned when he stood at the dispatch box in 2015 and told us he was going to be looking at tax relief. And he said, well, pensions could be treated like ISAs, where you get the tax break at the end rather than at up front. But the concerns were that the wholesale switch in the system, so even though it sounds easy, it would be far, far, far more complicated to implement a change of that sort. It would require two pension systems, old and new, to be running alongside each other, which could create a lot of confusion. And there was a concern that could hit even more confidence in retirement saving.
Exactly. But should we relax now ahead of Wednesday's budget, or do you think there'll be any more announcements on pensions that could leap out of his hat?
Well, I'm sure there is. There's always a rabbit coming out of a hat somewhere when George Osborne is involved. Now, he only said that the steer we got from Treasury was now is not the right time to be making any sweeping changes to the pension system. And if you think about it, the reasons why the review was launched 8 months ago, they still exist. The costs of pensions at £21 billion a year of tax relief up front, that's still on the table. There's still a problem with the system not being clear and people understanding how tax relief works. So I am sure that they will return to this at some point, possibly this year in the autumn statement.
Okay, so a delay rather than a full-scale retreat. Thanks very much. That was Josephine Cumbo, the FT's pensions correspondent. On Budget Day next Wednesday, stay glued to FT.com. Former Money editor Jonathan Ely will be among the experts live blogging on the Chancellor's speech. They'll kick off around 12 noon and they'll pull in all the best reaction tweets from the FT's stable of writers and experts. And Thursday's edition of the FT is a budget special containing our full verdict on all the Chancellor has to say and what it means for your wealth. And this will also be the subject of FT Money next Saturday. We'd love to know what you think about the pensions climb down, high-end dating, or about money matters more generally. You can get in touch with us via email, our address money@ft.com, or tweet us @ftmoney, and leave comments at the foot of individual articles on our website at ft.com/money. There's just time to tell you what else will feature in this weekend's issue. Our US columnist Ken Fisher looks at what effect a future President Trump could have on stock markets. And as usual, we have the latest share tips and directors' deals from the Investors Chronicle. The Money Show was produced and edited in London by Adam Palin. We will be back next week, but for now it's goodbye from me and our studio guests. Goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.